Do you guys like sports? Because, hey, we like sports. Talk to Goods with the Sporting Goods with Ian and Mike every Monday from 2 to 3 here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, because we do sports right.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, we are podcasting at geekspeak.typepad.com. Well, I'm halfway there. This is episode 5 of the Geek Speak podcast, coming to you live from Brooklyn College. Now, I was going to have a special guest on today's show. It was almost 100% confirmed that Harvey Danger's Sean Nelson was going to be on today's show. However, due to a scheduling conflict, he's currently in a meeting. He thought I'm at Pacific time as opposed to Eastern Standard Time. So he is going to be in a meeting from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. So he's not going to be on today's show after all. However, next week, he will be on the show. So as of now, everything's all set to have Sean Nelson of Harvey Danger on the show next week, not this week. So today is just a regular old episode of Geek Speak, episode 5 of the podcast, and I'll be talking all the gaming, gadgets, tech, and more I can fit into an hour. So on today's show, I'm going to be, first of all, eating crow on the iPod video after blatantly saying on episode 3 that it was not going to happen. Now I have egg on my face because, well, it got announced. So, yeah, not exactly the best move on my house. But, what are you going to do? Also, I'll be talking about interesting emulation news. A 2D port of Final Fantasy X has been released. So I guess old school gaming is still popular in at least some circles. I know it is for me, so they are definitely going to be setting that up. And I'd be interested to see how it plans out. Also, get information on Overclocked Remix. I'm going to mention some projects going over there on Overclocked Remix, and especially one project that I cannot wait for, the Chrono Trigger project that's coming out over there in a couple of weeks. In fact, it might actually be out right now. I'm going to check the website to make sure that it has indeed come out. And also, I'm going to be getting into, of course, the windup at the end of the show, where I will discuss some sports and also discuss information on the discovery of the real-life Captain America. Okay, maybe not, but it's a sort of interesting story, so I'm sure you guys will love that. But I'm going to start things off with myself eating crow. Yeah, it does happen. Every now and then when you do have a radio show, you do end up saying things that you're going to regret. And guess what? I am absolutely regretting the comments I made 2 weeks back on the iPod video. Now, as of 2 weeks ago, it really did not look like Apple was going to release an iPod video. Now, BBC News came out with a report saying that it was official, that it was going to happen. But then there were about 5 other websites out there on the internet that completely disputed that claim, that said it's not coming out and that Steve Jobs is completely against it. So I went with the against. And because I went with the against, I was terribly, terribly wrong, because this past week, they announced the iPod video. Now, the iPod video, for those of you who do not know, and that would be maybe 2 of you, I have a feeling, the iPod video is just like a regular iPod. The only difference is that it is video capable. So the color screen that every iPod has will now be able to handle H.264 video encodings. Now, it's not even just H.264. It's another sort of encoding. Now, I believe the parameters are slightly different from a regular H.264 as opposed to an iPod version of a video. You can also connect the iPod to your TV through the typical out cables and watch the program on your television. So it's sort of like a portable TiVo in that aspect. Of course, the difference is as opposed to paying a yearly fee to use your TiVo, you're going to be paying by the episode here. Now, they have episodes of Lost up on the music store right now, which obviously is no longer just a music store. The iTunes music store expanding itself to just a plain old store for digital content. And they have episodes of Lost up now. They're going to be getting CBS shows up as well. So you'll see shows like CSI and Two and a Half Men and 60 Minutes up on the iTunes store. And there's also some music videos up there as well. And special shorts from Pixar, I believe. There's a couple of those up there. Now, the one problem that I'm seeing with the iPod video is that everything seems to be priced exactly the same right now, which is sort of interesting because an hour-long episode of Lost you can get for, I believe, $1.99. That's the price tag on that. But the music videos and the Pixar and all that are all $1.99 also. So what's the deal here, folks? I mean, it's one thing to charge the exact same price for a piece of music, because, I mean, a song is a song is a song is a song. But to charge the same price for an hour-long video and then charge the same price for a four-minute piece, that just doesn't make any sense. Seriously, I mean, think about it here. Now, I would understand it completely if perhaps the music videos were maybe 99 cents, or even if the music videos were $1.99 and the hour-long videos were $2.99, I'd understand it. But the price, everything the same, you're not really getting yourself too much of an idea out there of what sort of content you're going to be able to get from the iTunes music store. Once again, no longer just a music store. If you're charging the same price for Lost as you do for a four-minute video, nobody's going to buy into it. And to top it all off, there's already torrents out there. Yep, there's already specialized torrents out there for iPod videos. There have been rips of movies. I saw Sin City out there, and I saw a couple other movies as well, all ready to end up on your iPod for your viewing pleasure. So already, Steve Jobs is probably worrying just ever so slightly. Not too much, because then again, he is Steve Jobs, and he does have the corner on the market. And I'm going to discuss some options in the video range that have recently been coming out from a couple of other companies that you might be familiar with. But just absolutely nothing has actually been catching on so far. There was an article in the New York Times this past week discussing brand new options that are out there, brand new portable devices that are out there in order to bring your video with you. Now, there's one that came out. Again, I can't really, you know, the actual company that makes it is escaping me right now because it takes forever to actually navigate the New York Times website. So I'm going to probably just try and get it off the top of my head here. But there's this new video, portable video that came out that looks like it was designed from NASA. I mean, seriously, this thing looks space age, but to the point of complication, not to the point of ease. There's about 10 buttons on the side of this thing. And you're wondering exactly, what are you supposed to do with these? Which button does which? You know, which one shuffles to the next track, or which one pauses and rewinds? They're all on the side too. So it's not even that they're spread around. They're all on the exact same spot on the device. And that's just not practical. And the fact of the matter is that this machine had been out for, I'd say, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. And I saw absolutely no advertisements anywhere for it. And I'd heard absolutely nothing about it online. And mind you, I'm an online junkie. Chances are, if it's online, I'll hear about it eventually. I mean, whether it's on Dig, whether it's on some other website, like maybe Slashdot, I'm probably going to find out about it. There's another product out there that's almost like a portable satellite dish that you're able to just bring around with you and record your shows, take it off there, and play your shows anywhere you want. Pretty much like a portable TiVo. And mind you, that will be coming out eventually, I'm sure. As I'm very, very sure that will be coming out sometime soon. But again, there's already some suits coming out as to whether or not that's even legal to have a device like that. Because they didn't corner the market on satellites. I mean, they didn't get any of the permissions, I'm pretty sure. They just made this device. And to top it all off, the only other real device out there that I have heard anything about is the PSP. That's it. I mean, all these other devices that the New York Times was mentioning, I heard absolutely nothing about online. In fact, I'm going to see if I can actually find that article right now. Just so that I could tell you guys the names of these things. Okay. Well, you gotta be... Alright, see, this is where Bug Me Not becomes my friend. In fact, I'll do a little plug for them right now. Bug Me Not, for those of you who surf the net on a regular basis and have to get passwords for things, and you absolutely hate getting the passwords for these things, BugMeNot.com is your friend. It very much is. It puts together a listing of a whole bunch of logins to websites. Free websites, mind you. It's all the websites that make you get accounts with them to look at them. They just really want you to just sign up with their site. I guess so they know that you're a returning customer and stuff like that, but a lot of these just are not practical. I mean, to have to sit there and, you know, go through the sign-in process when you want to be able to just have a nice, quick login to a site or just see the material right off the bat, it doesn't pay. And Bug Me Not gets rid of all that. For pretty much every free site out there you can imagine, and mind you, if there is a free site out there that is not listed, well, then you could very well add your own login to BugMeNot.com and make sure that you get yourself a working piece. And by the way, it was ThinkSecret.com that got the rumors wrong, and they're the ones that I pretty much went with, because in the past, they've been pretty right on the goings-on of Apple, and they were very, very wrong about this one. They were terribly wrong about this one. Because, quite frankly, you gotta be right about these things, or else your entire publicity goes out the door. I don't know if anybody is going to actually trust them anymore when these ideas get out there. I mean, I'm going to have to second-guess them from now on. All right, so I can't find this article. I've been stalling, I can't find it. All right, well, nevertheless, there are a whole bunch of other video options out there that I just have not heard of. Other than the PSP, I have not heard of any of these. Now, if any of my listeners can give me ideas as to what else is out there, please email me. Let me know. I mean, the email is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. And let me know about this, because if you guys have heard of any of these new video options out there, let me know. Because I'm not satisfied with the iPod. I'm not satisfied with an iPod video. Now, one of the main reasons why, and a lot of people have been talking about this, I'm talking about it, and I think it's just so that they'll be able to get people to buy one, realize that it doesn't have this thing, and then wait for the next one and buy that next one. There's no pause options. There's no pause, fast forward, and rewind options on the videos. And that's lacking, folks. All right, if a VHS recorder can beat you out on something, and that's ancient this day and age, yeah, that's the signs that you do not exactly have a perfected product yet. And I was right about it not supporting every codec, because DivX is just not supported at all. So there's no obvies going on here, folks. That's it. No obvies. For now, at least, until some dude comes out with a hack of it and makes it able to play them, you're not going to be able to play your obvies, which, to me, is a huge loss. But what are you going to do? So iPod video, you've got a lot to learn until you're something that I'll invest my time in. That much is for sure. So I like game music, and I always have. It's always fun when you get a brand new game and the music just blows you away. It makes you want to play the game. I mean, sure, it's not the only thing that makes you want to play the game, but it actually adds to the experience. That's what music is supposed to do in video games. It's not supposed to detract from anything. It's not supposed to make you turn off the sound and put on your CD player. It's supposed to do something. And there aren't many video games out there for me that do this well. I'll name a few offhand out of the ones that I have played. I mean, the Onimusha series does a very good job of having the background music fit the mood and make you want to listen to it over and over again. Devil May Cry has a very, very good soundtrack. 1, 2, and 3 have all been amazing so far. Tekken series, Tekken 5. I can listen to that soundtrack any day of the week. Final Fantasy obviously does a good job with their soundtracks, but I don't know too many Final Fantasy games, so I'm not going to mention them. But there's one game in particular, two games actually, that blew my mind away with the amazing music that they had to play. That's Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross, the Chrono series of games. Now, Chrono Trigger was the first one that came out for the SNES, and a couple of years later, Chrono Cross came out for the PlayStation. Or PSX, if you want to call it, as it was originally named, the PlayStation X. Hey, whoa, hey. Great music on both accounts. I mean, Chrono Trigger was different because, obviously, it was only dealing with SNES-style music. So you had those MIDIs in there, and, you know, it wasn't the best quality, but it was fun. It was entertaining. It was well-produced, even for, you know, lacking quality. I mean, the synthesizers did a very, very good job of capturing the feel of the RPG experience. So, when I went over to Overclock Remix a couple weeks back, ocremix.org, for those of you who have not heard of it before, Overclock Remix, of course, the premier video game remixing site on the net, and I saw that Overclock Remix has a Chrono Symphonic project. A cinematic interpretation of Chrono Trigger, I began to salivate uncontrollably. Because this is just wow. Now, the project's going to be coming out in a couple weeks. Got delayed due to mixing, because they want to make it sound like it's smooth transition from track to track. And I don't blame them, because that's definitely a good sign. If you can have your track transition smoothly from one point to another, that's a good thing. Now, it's going to be 29 tracks. Yeah, 29 tracks long. Which is just again, blowing me away, because that's pretty much all the tracks in Chrono Trigger. And they're trying to emulate what a Chrono Trigger movie soundtrack would sound like. So they're going orchestral, and they're going deep, and they're going as emotional as possible, and they're trying to pull out a great product. And I very much feel this will be a great product. Chrono Symphonic has all the makings of a project that you'll remember. So for those of you out there who are fans of great music and love playing video games, this is a project for you to look out for. Now, like I said, it'll be out in a couple of weeks. If you want to get information on it, you can go to chrono.ocremix.org, and that'll forward you to the Chrono Symphonic site. And definitely look into this if you're a fan of video games. Now, while I'm on the topic of video games, I'll switch over to the news that I talked about at the beginning of the podcast / broadcast. And by the way, if anybody is indeed listening and wants to call in, the number to call is 718-951-4444. And that's week in and week out. Every time I'm live, which will be pretty much every time except for a few times here and there when I'm on vacation, you'll be able to tune in and call in to GeekSpeak at 718-951-4444. So if you want to join in on the fun, that's how you do it. So they're making a 2D version. Actually, it's made already. Of Final Fantasy X. Now, a lot of people's favorite Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy X. Plenty of people enjoy Final Fantasy VII. And plenty of people enjoy Final Fantasy, you know, the early Final Fantasies, like Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy, obviously. But Final Fantasy X is the one that pretty much blew everybody's minds. It was one of the first good ones. It was a great one for the PlayStation 2, RPG-wise, because this one was their test to make sure that everything worked really, really well. And they got it working really well. And everybody loved this so much that they actually ended up making a second Final Fantasy game for the first time ever. Final Fantasy X2, the first sequel ever in the history of Final Fantasy. Because each game, obviously, is very independent from the next. And Final Fantasy X2 was the first to come out that had something to do with the first one. Now, mind you, not too big a fan of the Final Fantasies, so I haven't had a chance to play either game. I'll admit that right now. But if there's one thing that I love, it is the old school experience. It is sitting down and playing a 2D game. I mean, I love sitting down at my computer, playing some SNES ROMs, and just relaxing sometimes. I mean, even the puzzle games get me sometimes. I mean, God, Bust a Move. Oh, my God. I swear to God, there have been times when I just cannot get myself off the computer because I just keep playing Bust a Move. And it's sad, really, because it's just a bunch of bubbles, you know? A bunch of bubbles and some animals, but for some reason it's really, really appealing. Anyway, there are plenty of other games that I do play on there. I mean, Tetris Attack is certainly a fun game. Obviously, Chrono Trigger, which I've given my hand at, and I do really, really enjoy that. But a Final Fantasy X experience in 2D is something that not many people expected to see. And I mean, this doesn't seem to be one of those low-grade hacks like some of those Sonic hacks that are out there, like making Sonic playable for the NES, which of course is just, you know, hacking the ROM to make it sort of look like Sonic, but giving absolutely none of the gameplay. This is on the Final Fantasy II Japanese ROM. And they reworked everything. They even put in everybody's favorite minigame. Blitzball is in this game. That's putting all the stops out. You've got everything in this. Now, according to the link, because, I mean, the link is currently not too happy. The dig effect strikes again. But, yeah, the description says, a group of Japanese ROM hackers recreated Final Fantasy X using the Final Fantasy II Japanese ROM as a base. The entire Sphere Grid and the Blitzball game are also in the ROM. It's a real 2D version of Final Fantasy X. And like I said, I'm not too much of a Final Fantasy guy, but I love old school gaming. And after recently putting Final Fantasy VII to the test, yeah, I'm currently on disc 2 of that. Oh my god, was that snow place annoying. Ugh, I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about who's played Final Fantasy VII. Going through that frozen tundra at the beginning of the second disc. Oh my god, is that annoying. I was pulling my hair out by the time that was over. But I do love old school gaming. And this might very well open the door to plenty of people out there who miss the 2D experience of Final Fantasy and want to get it back. Well, this is a great way to do it. So I highly recommend, once this ROM becomes available, picking it up, because you never know, you might enjoy it. Little plug here as well, since most of my listeners are local and are actually listening who go to Brooklyn College, at least I hope so, at least there are at least a couple of people who go to Brooklyn College, quick plug for the Halloween party going on for the Anime Club over on the second floor of Subo on Thursday the 27th. From 7 until midnight. We're going to be on the second floor of the Student Center building. That is Club Subo, or Subo, whatever you want to call it. That's right outside the Brooklyn College campus. And we're going to be on the second floor in Bedford. We're going to have four TVs set up. Have ourselves a nice little gaming party with a GameCube, two PlayStation 2s, a Dreamcast, an N64. I think we might even get an Xbox in there for some Halo action. So if anybody is interested, come on down to the Student Center Thursday the 27th from 7 until midnight. There will be food and refreshments, be some music as well, and possibly even some costumes since it will be around the Halloween time. So anybody who's interested in that, stop on by, and I'll be more than happy to meet you, especially if you've never met me before and you're a listener to this podcast, because, hey, I like meeting people. So switching back over from the side of plugs to actual content, another website that I frequent out there, because I'm a geek, I'm a nerd, I'm a dweeb, you know, sue me, and I'm an anime fan, I always love to check out what's new on animemusicvideos.org, animemusicvideos.org. For those of you who have never been there before, and even for those of you who haven't heard of anime music videos before, I'll let you know what it is right now. Now, I'm sure everybody knows what a music video is, except for maybe one, like, you know, 80-year-old grandmother listening out there who hasn't owned a TV and hasn't listened to music since Mozart. Yeah, a music video is a song that is set to video, yay. And animemusicvideo.org, animemusicvideos.org, I really have a hard time saying that for some reason. Animemusicvideos.org, there we go, specializes in the anime variety of those videos. They're out there to ensure that everybody gets to experience the anime experience for what it is. And this is part of it. It really is. I mean, it's not just about shows. It's about showing your appreciation for those shows by making projects. And that's what these people do. There's plenty of projects on the website that deal with multiple animes, and then there's some that, you know, only deal with one. There's some that use many different songs, and there's some that only use one. All of different quality. You can tell, you know, you can tell the amateurs from the professionals, but they do a really, really good job with this. And every anime convention you go to, you're going to see a tournament for the anime music videos. Anime Boston has one, Anime Next has one, Otakon has one, Otakon, whatever you want to call it. Otakon, you say tomato, I say tomato. Pretty much everyone is going to have one. And AnimeMusicVideos.org does its best job to bring all of those projects together as one. And one of the projects that I got into as of late is a little thing called AMV Hell. It's a very appetizing name, isn't it? AMV Hell is a collection of small little music videos put into one package, done by a whole bunch of different people, whole different types of animes, whole different types of songs, on music videos that should have never been. Yeah, that's right. Music videos that should have never been. So it's basically just a collection of zany, incredibly fun music videos that you see these and you're like, oh my god, they actually did that? And there's been two of them up until now. One of them was called AMV Hell, and the other one was called AMV Hell 2, the son of AMV Hell, because obviously, it's a typical sequel name, why not? And they just released AMV Hell 3. Now, AMV Hell 3 is a very different experience. Why, you might ask? Go ahead and ask why. Why, Ian? Oh, well, I'll be glad to tell you, folks. AMV Hell 3 is a movie, pretty much. It's called AMV Hell 3, the motion picture, and it's an hour-long anime music video. So this takes a while to watch, but it's a whole lot of fun. Parodies left and right, things that you would never expect to see out of characters happening, and everybody's having a great time. So I would highly recommend going over to animemusicvideos.org and downloading yourself AMV Hell to start yourself off, because, you know, you want to start out with the first one. Each one of them has great quality. You know, there's no quality drop off from one to the other. There's even a trailer, a combined trailer of AMV Hell and AMV Hell 2 set to Star Wars, which is absolutely hilarious. Had me on the floor. So, again, anybody who's interested in music videos, anime music videos, anime, manga, guns, wait, yeah, there's a couple guns in there, I think. Go ahead and check it out over at animemusicvideo.org. It's a little search box there. Now, it does take membership, but the membership is free. I mean, you can pay if you want to, and I would recommend, you know, at least putting some sort of donation down, because it takes a lot of bandwidth month after month to keep this website up and running. But for those of you who can't, it's free. So be it. And just search for AMV Hell 3, and you'll be able to find it. And of course, start yourself off with the first one, because, as that old movie said, it's a good place to start. So another game out there that a whole bunch of people have been amazed about, and I'm definitely one of them. I mean, mind you, I didn't actually play the first one. See, I got to admit, folks, I'm sort of new to a lot of types of genres of games, because back when I was a kid, I was very close-minded. I was pretty much a sports gamer, because I'm a sports kid at heart still. Mind you, I have embraced geekdom, but I was originally just a sports guy, and I finally branched myself out. I started playing RPGs, I started playing the shoot 'em ups and the fighting games, but there were a lot of games I missed out on because I started late. And a lot of the old classics I'm trying to catch up on now. But I don't want to actually plunk down the money to find a lot of these. Because, well, it's kind of hard to find some of these, you know? But I do have some good news. And no, it is not that I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. Because that would just be a cop-out now, wouldn't it? Yes, it most certainly would be. Don't look at me like that. Come on now. All right, fine. Let's be friends. All right, so there are flash games out there of old games that were incredibly popular in their day and are still very, very fun to play now. Absolutely perfect copies of flash games. And one of them is Wolfenstein 3D. Wolfenstein 3D is absolutely converted to a flash game right now. Now, Wolfenstein 3D, for those of you who do not know, was one of the first successful games out there in the first-person shooter genre. For a while there, we really didn't have a lot. Now, mind you, later on, games like GoldenEye perfected it and made it as popular as it is today, but one of the starting points was Wolfenstein 3D. And the entire game is now available online with Flash 8. Macromedia Flash strikes again. It is absolutely amazing what you can do with Flash these days. I mean, there was a guy who made an entire, well, not exactly an entire, because I think it was only three levels long, but took Sonic Advance, the Advance games, which, as I said before on the show, I'm not exactly a fan of, but, you know, I know that they are what they are, so be it. And he took Sonic Advance, I believe it was Sonic Advance 3. Yeah, it was, because, no, it was Sonic Advance 2. Sonic Advance 2, and made it into a flash game. Took every piece of it and made it into a flash game and did a very, very good job. The physics were all exactly how they should be and everything felt natural. And that's what happened here with Wolfenstein 3D. A perfect copy in Flash 8. So you don't have to go out and buy yourself the game. Now, mind you, you can if you want to, but you don't have to go searching down for any of these. Which makes me very happy because I'm a college student. I don't have money. What, did I just surprise any of you with that? I mean, come on. But yeah, no, free is my friend. It always has been, it always will be. But yes, free is very, very much my friend. And this free version of Wolfenstein 3D, I am going to eat up with a spoon. Now, will there be other games out there someday? I mean, somebody made a comment that, can you believe that 10 years from now, we might be playing Halo 2 on Flash, thinking, hey, those were the good old days. You know, with our PlayStation 9s and stuff like that. PlayStation 9, teleport yours today. It could happen, folks. It really could. I mean, I talked about things get obsolete much faster than you think. Everything that's state-of-the-art now will not be state-of-the-art 5 years from now. Won't even be state-of-the-art a year from now, probably. Now, mind you, there's usually about a 3 or 4 year break in between systems. Like, a system's nice and popular for a while, and then it goes out, and, you know, then a new one comes, and that's popular, and then it goes out. But yeah, this is a great way to preserve that retro gaming feel. Yet another way to do it. And I know that a lot of you folks are probably playing this game right now. I salute you folks. Let's go gaming. Little somber music there. I know, it's not exactly what you usually find here on Geek Speak, but there's a reason. Isn't there always a reason? But yeah, there is a reason why I just bummed all of you out with that track. So, God, I can barely say it. The remains of Captain America have been found. I mean, he was such a great guy, and like, he says that, and Bucky, and everything. Wait a second. Oh, okay, yeah, this is the real world, sorry. Yeah, they found the body of a 1942 World War II airman in a glacier. Now, these remains have been here since 1942. So that's 52, 62, 72, 82, 92, 2002. That is 63 years. It has been lying in the ice, unretrieved. And with wars like these, this is probably not the only body out there that has been perfectly preserved in a glacier. Because a whole lot of people were, well, jumping out of planes back then. You don't know where they landed. But it just, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, as a comic book fan, I got to say, I mean, Steve Rogers was a good man. He was really, all right, yeah, snap back to reality again. Now, it's funny when art imitates life like this and life comes back and imitates art. Because everybody knows the story of Captain America getting frozen in the glacier for years, and finally thawed out by the Avengers, and he's perfectly fine with no brain damage at all, and he knows all of his ABCs, and he has no problem whatsoever adjusting, and everything's all safe and good, and they all lived happily ever after, and then the boogeyman ate their babies. Okay, maybe not that last part. But yeah, I'm sure everybody's heard that before. But this is reality, folks. There are no super soldiers. This guy was just a regular guy. A regular Joe who signed up for the Army in this form, the Air Force, obviously, and was just found. Now, I'm sure if he does have any family left, I'm sure they're happy that his remains finally have been found. But yet again, I love it when life imitates art like this. Now, was it Captain America or was it Bucky? You know, we're not really sure right now. I mean, they're still looking into it. I mean, the Red Skull might have been involved. We're still getting reports in. Could have very well been Baron Zemo. We just got to figure this all out. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll know exactly what happened to Captain America. But I'm sorry to say, folks, you're not going to be seeing any more of his adventures anytime soon. Unless he gets an animated series, then, you know, that'll be interesting. I kill me sometimes. Yeah, so geeks everywhere are giggling. I mean, sure, it's sad that a guy died in 1942, but it's also really, really awesome that they found them in a glacier. And Iron Man was there. Okay, maybe not. Kind of funny how life works, huh? It's wind-up time here on Geek Speak on geekspeak.typepad.com. Once again, Sean Nelson will be with me next week, not this week, for anyone just tuning in on the stream. But anyway, it is wind-up time here on Geek Speak, and that, of course, means let's switch to sports. So the World Series officially set. Strike up the bands, folks. The Houston Astros have made it to the World Series for the first time in their history. Their competition, the Chicago White Sox, who have not made it to the World Series since the 1910s. They're pretty much as lonely as the Red Sox were until they won their playoffs. Finally, they won their World Series. And Major League Baseball must be saying, this must be really the underdog World Series. I mean, who thought at the beginning of the year that the World Series would be taking place between the Chicago White Sox and the Houston Astros? The Houston Astros were in the playoffs last year, understandable, but the White Sox took everybody by surprise. Mind you, they almost lost it all at the end of the season there when the Indians started coming back, but they surprised everybody. Nobody thought they were going to do this. And now here they are in the World Series. As a Yankee fan, I look at their rotation and I see that four starters, or four pitchers, that is, because El Duque hasn't been starting, but he might very well end up starting come the World Series, but four pitchers in between the two teams used to play for the Yankees. Andy Pettitte, Roger Clemens, El Duque, and Jose Contreras. They've all got postseason experience. They've all been there before. So what are they going to do now? Well, the White Sox have Contreras and El Duque, which is, you know, okay. But the Astros have Roger Clemens and Andy Pettitte. And they've got plenty of other amazing cogs in their wheel. They're not going to give out without a fight. And neither of the White Sox. It's going to be a very tough World Series because both of these teams don't want to lose. One of them hasn't won in years. The other one's never won at all. So no matter who wins this World Series, they're both going to come out winners. I mean, congratulations to both teams for making it this far. Nobody thought you were going to do it. Now you're there. Now show the world you were meant to be there. Play the best World Series you could possibly play. Show everybody that you have what it takes to get there year in and year out if you try your best. Which will certainly end up happening if they stay as sharp as they've been. White Sox have the potential to be contenders for years now. The Astros have the potential to be contenders for years now. They just have to actually put it all on the table, try their best, and get it out there. Now, you might ask, which of the two am I choosing to win the World Series? That's a tough call. But I'm going to go with the Astros. I'm going to go Houston Astros in six over the White Sox. I want to see them win their first World Series more than I want to see the White Sox win for the first time in years. First time since the Black Sox scandal. But I think the Astros are on a major high right now, and they're not going to get off it anytime soon. That's the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every Monday from 2 to 4 here on Brooklyn College Radio. Yeah, we got an extra hour of the sporting goods. 2 to 4 here on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You'll hear me, Ian Levenstein, with the guys, Jason, Joey, Michael, anybody else who ends up stopping by, here on the Sporting Goods, week in and week out. So, once again, for those of you who tuned in to listen to my interview with Sean Nelson, that has been postponed a week due to miscommunication between myself and Sean. It happens, you know, that's the way life works. But I will hopefully have him on the show next week. And from there, who knows who else I'll have on. I'm going to try and find out if I can get some more comic book guys on, maybe get some guys in the tech world, you know, get my name out there at least. And for those of you who are listening to this as well, information that you might want to know, GeekSpeak is now on podfeed.net. So if you're interested to see how many people are actually subscribing to GeekSpeak on a regular basis, it's a nice little feature on podfeed.net. It actually lists who's there, and you can download the feed from there on a regular basis. We're also officially on Podcast Alley. There's a link to Podcast Alley directly on the GeekSpeak homepage. We are officially on iTunes as well, so you can directly link yourself to the iTunes feed from the GeekSpeak homepage as well at geekspeak.typepad.com. Everything's all there. So you've got many options now. You've got Podcast Alley, you've got iTunes, you've got FeedBurner, which is the regular old feed, and you've got a whole bunch of other options out there as well. Podcast.net, you've got podfeed.net, and a couple of other directories that I put myself on as well. If you want to vote for me on Podcast Alley, I'd be a very happy man. If you want to send me email, once again, it's at speakgeekspeak, S-P-E-A-K, G-E-E-K-S-P-E-A-K, @gmail.com. If you want to send a question, a comment, an audio comment, or anything along those lines, that'll work for me. Now, before I round out the show, I'm going to start a new little segment here that I like to call the Geek Calendar, for information that's coming up in these upcoming days. Now, for those of you who do not know, Batman Begins is officially out on DVD. Yes, indeed, it's out on DVD. So for those of you who were huge fans of Batman Begins as much as I am, you can go pick that up as of this past Tuesday at any store. Arrested Development Season 2, now out on DVD. You can go check that out as well. And I think that's pretty much all I'm going to be listing for now. I'll have a more definitive list as the day goes on. But yeah, that's my little geek calendar there. So I'm going to sign things off here. Once again, I am Ian Levenstein. You've been listening to GeekSpeak here on Brooklyn College Radio and at geekspeak.typepad.com. And we will see you next week. And I hope to see some of you at the video game party this upcoming Thursday, after the show, actually, literally right after the show, from 7 until midnight over at the Student Center at Brooklyn College. That's Subo on the second floor. So for now, this is Ian signing out. Take care, everybody. I'll see you next week. Hopefully, Sean Nelson will be joining me as well. Until then, enjoy your week. Enjoy your geek. Take care. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.